welcome to episode 27 of the Freedom Foil Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Joe, and I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Mary.
Hi, guys.
Episode 27.
First of all, 27. Joe says these very funny.
We are going on week 3 of consistent once a week uploads.
Feels like the old times, guys.
Can we get a slow clap going in there? That was pretty good. All right. And you know, we pulled a little switcheroo on you guys because this episode is going to be a doozy. And it's one that I know many of you have been requesting since the beginning. Since the beginning.
I think this is probably up there with as intense as Animal Spies.
Okay. All right. So maybe not, but no.
I need to lighten the mood a little bit.
We were originally going to do a episode on a 50-foot Congo snake that may or may not have been spotted.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For whatever reason, every time I go to say that, I want to say worm, a 50-foot worm, like in
SpongeBob. Like in SpongeBob. We can take the town and move it somewhere else.
An Alaskan bull worm. But no, it was a snake, and I was like, man, there's going to be a ton of information on this, and it's going to be a cool cryptozoology episode, and you know, there really wasn't anything out there.
People just don't care.
And you know, that's what happens a lot of the time with these episodes and with the topics, and it just so happens that this time, I was already planning on doing an episode about this in the future, and I'm like, let's just do it now. But yeah, there was like literally two paragraphs on the Congo snake, and it was like, yeah, he either saw it or he didn't. And I'm like, okay, cool. So
like everything else, he might be really, might not be.
So there wasn't much to talk about, so I decided, you know what? We are finally going to do an episode on 9/11. And I know a lot of you guys...
It's heavy, man. This is heavy.
It's a heavy one. And I want to do... quickly, we're starting this a little bit different than others, but we're going to do some disclaimers here. This is one of the largest topics we have ever tried to cover. It is insane. I am still trying to expand my knowledge on 9/11. And it's also a very touchy topic, you know, even
because it's over 20 years later. It's not like it happened in 1965.
Yeah, this is, you know, most of us that are listening to this were alive when this happened. A lot of us, this touched at a very close level, and I'm sure a lot of us have
family members involved. Like, there's a lot
going on with it. And also, I want to just kind of throw this disclaimer out there because this is touchy for a lot of veterans out there. A lot of folks, understandably, saw 9/11, and that is what ultimately encouraged them to join and follow along their military career.
Don't blame them one bit.
Right. So a lot of folks out there, you know, they had friends die and you know, they may have taken lives just solely, among other things, but primarily based off of this event and this attack on our country. So know that going into it. And quite frankly, you guys, if you don't want to potentially have bad emotions get brought up or whatever, don't listen to this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's heavy.
We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff that may seriously aggravate some people, and we're going to try to do it in the most politically correct way as possible.
Because this is just a little different than, like, for instance, like, I'm trying to think of...
like JFK or something, or Waco.
Waco was, or what one was the other hidden history we did?
Ruby Ridge.
Okay, so Ruby Ridge was a little more black and white, I feel like, in my eyes.
Everybody's
kind
of like...
forward when you looked at all the evidence. This, in my opinion, it's just heavy, and there's a lot to it, and a lot of people have different opinions.
Yeah. And final disclaimer, there is so much to this that we could not even begin to cover it in one episode. And this is a very important episode to me because this, I've done a lot of research into this. I mean, we're talking hours and hours of research into 9/11 over a few years. and we are going to miss things. We're going to miss things in this episode. I'm going to try to do my very best to get everything in there, and we're going to give it all that we have. Understand as well that this is, you know, me and Mary both have regular jobs. We are regular people.
We say this every time. People are tired of hearing about that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. No, what I was going to say is why we're staying as politically correct as possible. There's a lot of beliefs that we may or may not have in regards to all of 9/11. And, you know, a lot of those are not going to get along with regular culture out there.
Meaning they're not going to see the light of day on this podcast because,
right.
You know,
so,
this
you know,
is, as fun as this is,
yes,
we don't make any money off of it. So
right.
if anyone
we
got
do
a
it,
hold of it, you
we
know.
Do it for fun. So with all those disclaimers out, man, let's start this ride.
Oh, and Joe's going to drive. So
yes. Yeah, I'm going to do everything that I can. We're basing our main guide here off of the standard Wikipedia articles that we generally do. This one is just 9/11 conspiracy theories, and it's very much like JFK's wiki page, where it is incredibly long, mm-hmm. incredibly detailed. And ironically, they leave out some of the most important details with 9/11, you know, that they could have possibly left out.
Yeah,
so,
I found it very technical.
Very technical.
Very like
discounting everything.
Discounting everything. But JFK's was a little bit more like,
what if?
And it talked about, what's his face? Oh my God, what's his name? The guy, the scapegoat. What's his name?
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah, it talked about him. Like, yeah. They don't really touch on like people in this.
No, they really don't. They touch on a little bit, but you know, of course, if you're watching this from outside of the country, hell, anyone in the world is going to know about 9/11.
So yeah, do you want to give us a brief overview of kind of what happened? Obviously, I mean,
we're going to go over just
a lot of people
like
know.
30 seconds factual on the morning of September 11th, 2001, the Twin Towers were struck by commercial airliners, allegedly taken over by hijackers, Al-Qaeda, and shortly after that, the Twin Towers fell. Building 7 of the World Trade Center was not struck, but also fell. And also, there was United Airlines Flight 93 that went down close to home here in Pennsylvania. And
I think it's Shanksville.
Yeah, and then the Pentagon was also struck. So there were a total of 4 aircraft in the air that were taken over by hijackers, and
Crash. That's
how we went. Now, shortly after that, almost immediately after that, we figure out, hey, these are the folks that did it. This was an immediate attack on our nation, and it, just like Pearl Harbor, we need to go and search out these people, and this is probably, as many people say, the most patriotic few months of our country's recent history. We have everybody from all sides of the aisle, left, right, in the middle, in between, coming together, saying we need to band together as a nation and go get these pieces of shit.
I'll tell you what, though, like, just to give a quick background on where Joe and I were at, and at the time, I was in kindergarten, Joe was in first grade. I don't remember watching it. They didn't put it on for us. I just remember my parents picking me up, and that was about it. In terms of being older, like, I just can't imagine. I mean, you hear from your mom and dad, you hear from people about like what went down, but yeah, I mean, talking about coming together, that did happen.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah. And I do remember watching it. I don't know why
that's
they had
so
it on.
Messed up.
And we, of course, my family lived in New York at the time.
Upstate
New York, way, way upstate. I'm closer to freaking New York City living in Pennsylvania than I was in New York.
Yeah, that's funny.
However, it did hit close to home because my mom was a flight attendant at the time for Delta.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And she flew out of New York City. So
JFK.
All of her trips it started with her flying out of JFK in New York City, and she actually had a previous trip planned for that day, and she got sick and stayed home. She just didn't feel good, stomach feeling weird, and
so
stayed
wild.
Home.
Hear stories like that all the time.
Just wild. Absolutely wild. So that definitely hit home because many of her friends were out of New York City You know, and I remember hearing from my mom all the time, especially with her flight attendant friends.
Even flight attendant friends of hers that had boyfriends, husbands,
yes,
whatever.
A lot of them worked at the World Trade Center just mm-hmm. because that was kind of like the job, you know, that yeah. was like where you want to be.
Right.
And so that's...
Just a little like personal background.
Little personal background. You know, and that, quite frankly, is where the conspiracies start. And I think...
They started pretty immediately.
Yeah, I'm going to say, actually, that day, the conspiracy theory started with people in forums or, you know, online saying, in chat rooms saying, hey, that looks like a controlled demolition. If they don't say it was a controlled demolition, something's up. Yeah, something's going on.
That's an interesting point about the internet, because obviously it wasn't as it is today. Social media wasn't even a thing, 2001.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, they had to revert to chat rooms and...
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, it was...
But imagine if the internet wasn't even available.
Right. Yeah.
So, just a couple years prior.
Yes.
It's so weird to think about.
Now, people got murdered that day. Thousands of people got murdered that day. That is not a conspiracy. No. Innocent lives were lost in this day, and many lives still continue to be lost by the absolute heroes of the first responders that were there that day trying to pull people out, trying to help, do what they can. That includes the firemen that were there, the law enforcement that was there trying to help these people. So
was the National Guard there? I mean...
Everybody that was there. Yeah, these are all victims of this tragedy that many of these people are getting horrendous illnesses from all of the contagions that were in the air. That is horrendous. And ultimately, you have the making of what I believe is one of the most ingenious conspiracies that has ever struck our nation, ever. You know, the reason being for that is because if you were to question anything about this, anything about the narrative, you are immediately met with treacherous violence of emotion. And
understandably, so, right. Understandably. And that's a good point. So it's like people have this extreme, strong emotional connection. Like even just you just telling that story about your mom, like you weren't even really involved in it and still it had an effect on you in some way. Imagine being even closer. It's just, it's so heavy. I keep saying that word because that's the only word I can think of that can describe the feelings that these people must have and carry with them every day. Like,
yes.
And to have somebody come to you and be like, oh, it's all a conspiracy.
Right.
That is beyond infuriating.
Yes.
And also, too, I should mention family members of military that have gone
members themselves. And like you just said, yeah.
Right. And then have somebody come to them and say, well, the reason that they went over there was a whole conspiracy.
Right.
It's really, really difficult to take.
And that's why this episode is so tough. But we also have to speak the truth of, or at least what I believe, my opinionated version of the truth. But when you look at conspiracies that are out there, that's why I say it's ingenious, because you are immediately outcasted if you stray away from the narrative at all. I mean, even a little bit. If you say anything, it is immediately met with you're a traitor.
Especially,
you're a traitor to the country.
Especially because, like, back to your point of like the patriotism that was felt throughout the country when this happened. You are, and if you're a conspiracy theorist blaming the government,
yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It just is like, it's another layer of like, what are you doing?
Yes. And I think the tragedy there is if there were people that were involved with this event in the government that either knew it was going to happen or helped fabricate it, wanted it to happen, were controlling it and making it happen. If these people did not see justice taken upon them, that is one of the biggest tragedies, I think, in modern history.
Yeah.
I mean, truly the most sadistic people I have ever read about in my life. If this is true, even if a shred of it is true, even if they knew, let's say Al-Qaeda did hijack the planes and they knew and let it happen to instigate a war. That was one of the first things here on Wikipedia.
That's probably one of the biggest conspiracies.
The biggest mainstream conspiracies is, hey, the United States government wanted a war in the Middle East. They wanted the money that was going to come from that war. So they knew about this happening. The CIA knew about these terrorists coming into the United States. They let them come in. They let them board the planes. They knew exactly what was going to happen. And they just simply had the country, primarily the Air Force, stand down and NORAD stand down throughout the day and let whatever happened happen and tried to clean up the mess afterwards. Even if that happened, those people, I mean, that's like firing line level of traitor activity to the United States.
It's
That is like an act of war on the United States people by our own government. So you have that aspect, right? My theory is that that conspiracy, as we start diving into the deeper, is actually fabricated to connect with the basic conspiracy theorists, if you will, out there. So in my opinion, the folks that just kind of, we talked about this in JFK a ton, where like they feed you a believable conspiracy that mainstream people, people that don't dig in any deeper, read that and they're like, yeah, that's it.
Or on the flip side, it's easy to discount.
Right. Yeah. So it's either easy to discount or you're falling right in line.
So
with
you get
it.
Both parties. You get to discount it and you get the people on the other side and then you get the conspiracy theorists to be like, but that makes sense. So
yes. Yeah. It's like, and it's ingenious because it's a phenomenal way to cover up a more horrible possibility. Right. It's a great way to say, well, hey, look, the terrorists still did it and we still went and searched those guys out. And, you know, we shouldn't have gotten in a war, but we killed those guys out there. It is a much worse thing to think about if you go on the side of the United States government actually did it themselves.
Right.
And that is something that people cannot think about.
It's another conspiracy.
Yes. That is what we're going to start getting into as we go here. And that is something that I think this is when I'm talking to service members, when I'm talking, guys, I never just go up to somebody. I'm like, hey, man, this is why 9/11 didn't go the way you think it went. I mean, if somebody asks me my opinions, I will say it. But
I'm
still going to be reserved.
It's kind of like the political landscape at this point. I'm never going to seek somebody out to start an argument. I'm never going to seek someone out because, again, with this topic, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know their background. You don't know what they're dealing with. You don't know what they've dealt with. It's very, very, very. It's very hard to approach.
Yes. So when I was looking into this and, Mary, you got a brief rundown on Wikipedia, which really isn't great, but in just a basic amount of research, we're talking like in a matter of 10 minutes Google searching, the only thing that begins to not make sense is the official story of 9/11. At least that's how I thought about it. You know, if you take out all your other biases about it, if you take out any political standing.
You mean like the timeline of it all?
The whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing just doesn't make sense to me. And that's why I started digging deeper, you know. But in order to do that, you seriously have to look at this like you're not even a United States citizen. Like you're like somebody in space just viewing the situation. Both sides of the aisle, what is going on here? And that's the only time you're really going to start allowing yourself, in my opinion, to see possible truths that are there.
Got it.
I don't know if you felt that way.
It didn't really talk in this wiki article about like the actual timeline or what happened, but I don't know.
Give us a little bit on the insider trading that we were just about to start talking about. Like, what exactly happened that the theories are going there?
The theory of the insider trading starts with that just before 9/11, an extraordinary amount of put options were placed on United Airlines and American Airlines stocks, and speculate that conspiracy theorists speculate that insiders may have known in advance of the coming events of 9/11 and placed their bets accordingly, it says.
Yeah.
And so in the days leading up to 9/11, an analysis shows a rise in put-call ratio for the United Airlines and American Airlines, the two airlines from which the planes were hijacked, obviously. And no other companies had an unusual put-to-call ratio in the days leading up to the attacks. That's weird.
I would say that's a little coincidental.
That's weird. Like, but that's what they said.
Right.
That's literally what...
That was their
defense is like, it's a coincidence.
I was... laughing out loud at this Wikipedia article with how many times they said, and that's just what the United States government views as a coincidence.
This is going to sound super ignorant, but like, wait, I don't understand what a put option is. Does that mean people pulled their money out or put their money in?
A put or put option is a derivative instrument in financial markets that gives the holder the right to sell an asset at a specified price by a specified date to the writer of the put. Basically, I don't know anything about the stock market, okay? But
you would think, though, I mean, that's you don't need to know a lot about the stock market to know that the United Airlines and American Airlines stock probably plummeted.
Well, and so basically, in layman's terms, a lot of people made a lot of money.
Or money moves.
Money moves off of two of the airlines that... literally days later would be involved in one of the largest terrorist attacks on the United States in modern history. So weird. That's bizarre. I mean, I don't care who you are, on what side of the aisle you are, does not make sense to me.
This part does make sense to me. So insurance companies saw trading activities, including Citigroup Incorporated, had about 45 times the normal volume during three trading days before the attack for options that profit. If the stock falls below $40, Citigroup shares fell to $1.25 in the late trading and to $38.09.
Right.
So again, this is kind of like, it sounds a little Japanese to me. I don't understand the stock market, whatever.
At the end of the day.
There was very odd.
Yes.
Trading going on and money moves and why people did that, I don't know. Oh, I did want to say this part too. Morgan Stanley, which occupied 22 floors at the World Trade Center, experienced bigger than normal pre-attack trading of options that profited when stock prices fell.
Exactly. So
they actually occupied part of the building, which is interesting.
These sick individuals were literally... because stock trading, you know, I get it. A lot of people, it goes way over my head, but it's basically gambling.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And these individuals were gambling off of the murders that were going to happen a few days later, trying to make as much money as possible.
If you think about the more higher up people, they have people that manage their portfolios and do this for them. So this goes beyond just like regular Joe Schmo, like...
Oh, yes.
It's
absolutely.
It's weird. And it's weird. It's not a coincidence.
On top of that, now you have the basic conspiracy, right? The country knew about it or whatever, saying that Al-Qaeda was getting money from the stock market. So that's their thing, is that, hey, they knew it was going to happen. So these 17 hijackers, I think it was 17
yes.
hijackers,
yes.
Were insider trading to make a lot of money, right? So not only...
Oh, you're saying that one of the theories was they infiltrated the stock market in a way before
yes.
the... okay.
Yes, right. And so not only did Al-Qaeda figure out how to fly a Boeing 757 in a matter of months and do these incredibly intricate paths, which we'll talk about a little bit later, they also know how to rig the stock market on massively high levels. And they are saying... the basic conspiracy is saying that Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan knew what was going on with the stock market and they profited greatly off of what was going on.
Interesting.
That, to me, does not make sense.
No, it doesn't add up.
That does not add up.
No.
You know, if you want to say the airlines, okay, but this massively evil genius plan to not only understand the plot of terror
putting
against
him
the
on
country,
like the level of like a Hitler situation,
it just
like,
does not make sense. It
I
does
mean,
not.
And they
add
were
up.
Known. Al Qaeda was known for like lower educated. Like they weren't very like intelligent.
They had technology,
sure,
but it's
it
not
wasn't like,
like
United States technology and
right.
intelligence and,
right.
and backing.
So that doesn't make any sense. And they step on themselves when they say multiple times instead of that conspiracy. The mainstream is like, it was just a coincidence.
Right.
It was just a coincidence. That makes it look even worse. That does
not look great.
But again,
in the midst of a tragedy, people will just say, okay.
Yes.
Because who's, again, if you had somebody die, if you had a family member die in the Twin Towers.
Who's going
to sit there and be like, yeah, let me dig into this a little
right.
bit.
You just want to get who did it. That's what
you
want to
do. You
want to
get who did
do.
It or you want to just forget it happened and
right.
just move on
Understandably,
with your life.
Understandably, that is why
but
this is ingenious.
Yeah.
That's why this is ingenious.
Do you want to hit the air defense stand
yes,
down theory?
This is a big one. A lot of folks, consistent with the stand down theory, the basic conspiracy.
I did not know this.
They are saying that NORAD,
the
essentially...
North American Aerospace Defense Command.
Yes. New. This is basically the defense system of the air of the United States, right?
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If say a plane was going to go down and they like say they like an engine failed and the backup failed and blah blah blah, they would call NORAD.
NORAD really would know because they have satellites and radar tracking
and
all
they can
known
hear the communications.
Aircraft.
Because
correct. So their job would be to send up jets, send up people in the Air Force to down that plane, which protocol, although people on the plane would die if there was a possible impending disaster where you're really given a double-edged sword and you're either looking at thousands of people dying or hundreds
basically,
of people dying.
Their job is to try to land this plane as safely as possible, even
right.
though it's not going to be a good outcome.
As
most
safely
of the time.
To the country as possible.
Right.
What gives us the least amount of damage. Now, they briefly go over in this the lack of response of NORAD on 9/11,
mm-hmm.
right? And they say, among the many other skills that the hijackers had, that they also had the skills to disable the airliner's ability to track the plane, basically. So
oh,
it was
yeah.
just
so that it says
a little
here,
blip on the radar.
One of the first actions taken by the hijackers on 9/11 was apparently to turn off or disable each of the four aircraft's onboard transponders. Without these transponder signals to identify the airplane's tail number, altitude, and speed, the hijacked airplanes would have been only blips among 4,500 other blips on NORAD's radar screens, making them very difficult to track.
Right. Now, these are not your average planes.
Okay, let me just say this, though. Why wouldn't they come out and just say that the hijackers forced the staff to do it?
Right. But their story walks
That's
all
weird.
Over itself. And here's the thing, dude. They are relying solely on the patriotism behind this because if the massive public did any amount of research into what their claims were, they'd be like, well, wait a second. What do you mean?
And
what
are
you talking
about?
How
did they know that they turned that the hijackers were the ones that turned it off?
I believe due to the wreckage or whatever. But and
no,
mind
no, no, no.
You,
I'm saying I believe they were turned off. How did they know the hijackers turned them off? If they weren't in the plane, how did
right.
they know who turned them off?
Right. So they're, I don't
it's
know.
Weird.
I don't know. Now, the reason why I say these aren't just average planes is you don't just like walk into a Boeing 757 and understand how to fly it.
No.
Like it is not an easy craft to fly. You have to, you're looking at autopilot and all these manual overrides
well,
that need to be done.
You think about the actual training of an actual pilot for these airlines. It's years. It's hours
yes.
and hours and hours
yes.
of having to like, I mean, it's no joke.
And you're telling me there are four 757s, or I don't think all of
two
them
of
were
them
750.
Were 757s, I believe.
Yeah, the other two were still incredibly large,
yeah.
but slightly
the
smaller.
The two that went into the Twin Towers, I believe, were the 757s.
Right. So they're flying around completely out of path, off path,
and
for,
no one knows
I think,
about it?
Over 45 minutes
and no one,
before the
and
attacks happened.
And they're claiming
happened.
No one knows.
They're claiming that NORAD had no idea.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Okay, so
no
look,
clue.
Wait, but okay, if NORAD didn't know, how did United Airlines and American Airlines not know? How did they not pick up on that?
Right. It's inconsistencies. It doesn't make any sense. Now, Wikipedia says here, and this is a prime bit of data that they leave out, and they make the claim that, well, there hasn't been any sort of a hijacking since 1979 or whenever the hell they say it
yeah.
is. The United States was not ready for something like this.
There
were
only 14 NORAD fighter jets on alert.
Right. They were notified after all the planes hit their intended targets. That's when they were notified. Oh, it just struck the tower. Well, NORAD can't really do anything about it now. It already hit. So that's what they're claiming. there have been multiple documented cases where NORAD has contacted with either hijacked aircraft or, most notably, there was a smaller airliner carrying celebrity cargo, right? There were celebrities on the plane.
Celebrity cargo. Yeah,
I can't remember if
you
it was...
You could just say celebrities. They're human beings. Celebrity cargo.
I mean, honestly...
I thought you were going to say they're cars or something, and I'm like, wait, no, they're human beings.
Honestly, in this day and age, you never know.
But... Oh, Joe. They were carrying lizards.
No, so they had celebrities on it, and forgive me, I'm going a lot off memory here of what I was reading.
So far, you've been right.
The I think it was like a professional sports thing or a band or something like that. There was an oxygen problem in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
All of them ended up dying, and they actually ended up dying, I believe, while it was still in the air. Because there was a CO2 oxygen problem.
Air pressure. Yes, something.
That was an issue. So you essentially had an unmanned plane just in the air. NORAD and the Air Force responded, I believe, in less than 15 minutes from ground to next to the airliner. Like, immediately.
Yeah, because what does that say about NORAD and their response time if
exactly.
they miss four planes?
So there are multiple occurrences. We're not even talking that was like in the 60s. That was like early 90s, I think, or somewhere around that time. And there's many others like it.
Because all of these occurrences are 3 minutes before, 3 minutes before,
right.
just before it crashed.
So you have that. And I'm not trying to say those lives didn't matter on that plane. As far as the celebrities' lives or like
mattered
more or whatever.
You're just
but
saying
like,
they have a
that's a relatively small fish compared to this.
They have a proven record of response time that was appropriate
yes.
for their training, appropriate
yes.
for the
yes.
you know.
So my
and
question.
And then all of a sudden you have this world disaster,
why?
This World Trade Center disaster.
Why 45 minutes? Why are four planes? Mind you, all the attacks did not happen at one time. So they make the comment here, well, it was just a blip among, you know, hundreds of more other planes on the sky. Okay, I understand that. But what about after the first hit, after the first attack, when all the other air traffic was out? You're telling me that they still had absolutely
yeah,
no idea for over 20 minutes, over 30 minutes until other attacks ended up happening. The response time, there were no jets in the air, allegedly. Nowhere.
Well,
it just let it happen.
And there were
right?
only, apparently there were only 14 of them, 14 NORAD fighter jets were on alert in the 48, or what is that word?
48 states, contiguous.
Contiguous.
Contiguous states. Now, here's where it gets even more troubling, okay?
Well, you can hear it in his voice.
Yes, I get so fired up about this because it just does not make sense. You can say what you want about the World Trade Center, right? Because that's a civilian building and, you know, okay, I get it. There's not consistently air traffic and missile defense systems around the World Trade Center. Let's not forget that the Pentagon got struck by one of these airliners.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that that NORAD, who is supposed to protect this country as a whole, what should be the most protected spot in the entire country, the Pentagon, our Center for Defense of the United States, which has Andrews Air Force Base, I believe like 15 minutes or 45 minutes.
Oh, I did hear that. Yeah.
Slightly outside, actually, I think flight time from Andrews Air Force Base to get a pilot in the jet and in the air above the Pentagon is like less than 10 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So somehow
they only found out 3 minutes before.
3 minutes before is when we find out when this Boeing 757 is doing a corkscrew rotation, which is one of the most difficult moves to do in a plane that size to perfectly strike the Pentagon and also get through all of their ground-to-air missile defense systems. So
that doesn't make any sense.
What?
I agree.
Like, that's where, like, what is your thoughts on that? I just don't, from looking at information like that.
I think it makes us look like I think it makes it look like NORAD doesn't know what they're doing. And
right.
if that was the hit that we're willing to take.
Yeah.
I'm not saying hit as in the planes hit. I'm saying if NORAD was willing to take the fall for this and say,
well,
hey,
we didn't know.
We really screwed up this time. That's insane.
Right.
To lean on that doesn't really give anyone enough explanation for 3 minutes before all of these attacks, you weren't there.
Right. It does not make sense.
And let
it
me ask you, compute. Do you know where the Flight 93, which ended up landing in Pennsylvania, where was that supposed to go?
They don't know, but I believe there were some suspicions that it was allegedly supposed to go to the White House, okay. You know, or whatever. Fun fact.
I don't know where Shanksville is. I should have looked that
up. I don't either.
Up.
Fun fact about that, though, on an insider thing of Shanksville.
It's not
fun.
It's
just
not say fun. It's a fact.
It's a fact about it. Is... a friend of mine, I'll say, I don't want to even give any information about it. A friend of mine, his relative owned a farm in that area where Flight 93 went down, saw it going down that day.
No.
100% this is what he said. Now, there, you know, who knows? Saw it going down that day, saw jets in the sky above it, and saw smoke coming from the aircraft before it went down, which goes against the... You know, hey, the people of the plane.
Well, yeah, we should say. So the theory is
why did it go down?
That Flight 93 that landed in Pennsylvania was alleged that the passengers took over the hijackers, were fighting back, but ultimately they were the ones that couldn't fly the plane. And
right.
It crashed, but they did end up gaining control of the aircraft.
Yes, yeah, and there's a bunch of again, understandably. Horrendously pulling on heartstrings by showcasing the phone calls that were made from Flight 93.
Which are real. I mean, those are real.
Yes, but it's also... I'm treading carefully here because this sucks. This whole topic, you know, you're not going to not offend somebody.
I don't think they're fake.
No, I don't think they're fake either. However, you have to remember that at the flight that at the height that the flight was at... If I'm not mistaken,
no,
and this is
reception.
Yes, and also the credit card phones on the plane at the height that the plane was at would not be able to contact the ground.
Yeah,
if
but
they
also
right.
could have had phone services. The thing is, there had to have been some sort of communication with the outside world, ability to communicate via
yes.
a telephone for the pilot to do for the.
That is not. I'm going way deep into my memory on that one, so don't take that for a grain of salt.
It makes sense, though. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, you don't have the ability. I just. Ugh,
it's
think
horrendous.
About them and it's just really
horrendous.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Now, where that other theory comes into play with smoke coming out the back of the plane is many people assume that NORAD did respond to Flight 93.
And tried to tip it one way or the other.
Well, and downed it after the three attacks, understanding that, hey, so this is the basic conspiracy again, understanding this plane is going to go somewhere that's going to hurt a lot of people. So therefore...
And they just didn't want people to know?
Correct. Because yeah. it's, you know, at that point it is murdering, you know, the people on the plane for the greater good of not having that. So,
I would be curious to know where all four of these flights, like, were supposed to be going.
I think, I don't remember, but I believe it was like Chicago yeah. or something. They were not going near the destinations that
right.
they ultimately hit. Interesting fact on that, there's actually no viable, good documentation. Even in the world of today, we're going to get into surveillance a lot here, but there is no good documentation of any of the 17 hijackers boarding the planes anywhere. All of
the
security camera footage, you can barely make out an individual that does not even remotely look, in my opinion, close to like one of the hijackers. But you would think that somewhere around these airports where there was still surveillance camera footage, where there's still CCTV footage, that you would see 17 of these individuals boarding four different planes all over the country. And they don't have the information.
And how they got on them. It just
right.
Doesn't
it doesn't make sense.
Sense.
It does not make sense at all. So,
you know,
another
inconsistency. Or two, 17?
17, and you don't have proof?
And there's
you don't
just,
have documented
or
proof?
Or there's just protocol that just got completely missed by, like, You're telling 17 me that these,
times?
You're telling me that 17 times there was a passport, they had their ID, they had their...
Right. And mind you, almost all of them had issues with their fake visas and were illegally in the country.
Oh, that's what I was trying to find. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was trying to find.
Right.
So, yeah, they definitely like slipped, if you will, under the radar.
Yes. So, you know, we have a lot of that there. And... you know, again, we're consistently pointing out the inconsistencies of this. And I kind of like the way that we're going, where we're talking about the basic conspiracy and then kind of my opinion on the much deeper level of the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next spot we're kind of going over here?
Do you want to move down to the World Trade Center?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, there are, again, treading carefully here, there are multiple areas documented, factual, where there are potential connections with Israel being involved in 9/11. So there are a few things that we're going to go over where there are either Israeli agents that factually were there, that the FBI said, hey,
well, let's hit on that really quickly. Yeah. So it was claimed that Israeli agents may have had foreknowledge of the attacks, and a president theory claimed Israeli and or Jewish involvement. 4 hours after the attack, the FBI arrested five Israelis who had been filming the smoking skyline from the roof of a white van in the parking lot of an apartment building for and were showing puzzling behavior. A witness or bystander was saying they were almost acting happy. They didn't look shocked to me at all. I thought it was very strange. The right. van was found to be owned by an Israeli-owned company called Urban Moving, which the FBI believed was providing cover for an Israeli intelligence operation.
Right.
And that's straight from the article. I mean...
And that's the FBI. Now, I don't trust the FBI, but, you know, that's not... So, that story is generally referred to as the dancing Israelis when you're looking at the conspiracy theories involved. And they really briefly go over that. But if you look into the actual, like, interviews and stuff that were done with the people... first of all, the individuals didn't know they were from Israel. They just viewed four individuals actually dancing and shouting with joy watching the towers collapse.
Oh, what
watching
eerie,
them go down.
Eerie way to
so
ugh.
They're
Could
outside.
Could you imagine being running
right.
away or trying to just panic, pure panic,
right.
and you see like happy people?
You see four dudes with cameras outside and you're watching all those people die, trade centers coming down, and these individuals, from Israel or not, doesn't matter where they're from, are dancing, laughing, screaming with joy that the towers are falling.
And you also, I should say as well, people that were around there and watching this go down, and even just the United States in general, we didn't know what was going to happen next.
Right.
This could have been, you know, the theory could, there were some people that were like, we thought it was the end of the world.
Yes.
We thought that or at least the end of the United States, or that there was going to be like, you know, all these attacks across the crazy,
yes.
Across big cities. So it's like, you think this is the end of the world, essentially. You have no fucking clue what's going on.
Yeah.
And then you see that's so creepy.
And on top of that, the rebuttal information makes it worse.
How did this
they
come
justified
up,
it.
Who told them that? Like who brought this to light?
They called the authorities. They
who
called
did?
The FBI,
the
people
bystander?
That saw it. Yeah, the
okay.
bystander, because they're like, that's odd. And the mainstream said, well, everyone deals with stress differently. And all four of these people were experiencing shock. And
but
that's
then,
why they
I,
acted
But it's
in
interesting
that way.
To me that the FBI did say that they were providing cover for an Israeli intelligence operation.
Yes. So
that's weird.
That's official that says, hey, look, this van was owned by an Israeli company. I believe they were Israeli citizens, the four agents, essentially, because the FBI also said that the, what does it say? According to a former CIA operations chief, many people in the U.S. intelligence community believe that some of the men arrested were working for an Israeli intelligence agency. Right. So the FBI eventually concluded that the five, it's five. I think we said four, maybe. I don't know. It's five Israelis probably had no foreknowledge of the attack, so they say. But
weird.
In my opinion, you know, again, that we're just briefly going over the factual connection with Israel, and there are a few other times that potentially Mossad or other people, right? And so that can get, you know, very dicey talking about that. And, you know, the only other thing that I'll briefly mention on Israel's connection to the building is, as we go into the World Trade Center here, when you look at the theories of a controlled demolition, people point to the fact that due to other Israel connections, that Mossad, who is essentially like Israel's CIA, were the ones that planted the explosives underneath the buildings. Mm. So that's, again, further drawing to the connections that people have to that. I'll let everybody make their own conclusions on that.
Yeah.
Let's go into World Trade Center a bit, so as far as the building.
The plane crashes and the resulting fires caused the collapse of the World Trade Center, allegedly. Controlled demolition conspiracy theories say the collapse of the North Tower, South Tower, or of the number seven World Trade Center was caused by explosives installed in the buildings in advance. This demolition theory proponents argue that the aircraft impacts and resulting fires could not have weakened the buildings sufficiently to initiate a catastrophic collapse, that the buildings would not have collapsed completely, nor at the speeds that they did, without additional factors weakening the structures.
Yes.
Some state that, how do you say that? Thermite?
Thermite, yeah.
Thermite and nanothermite composites in the dust state that there was thermite and not nanothermite composites found in the dust and debris following the collapse of the three buildings. And federal investigators at the National Institute of Standards and Technology state that enormous quantities of thermite would have to be applied to the structural columns to damage them.
And thermite is essentially think of it like a metal melter. That stuff is crazy hot.
Well, I was going to say, so Brigham Young University physicist Stephen E. Jones said that the molten steel found in the rubble was evidence of explosives, as an ordinary airplane fire would not generate enough heat to produce this. There was photographs of the red debris being removed by construction equipment.
And, you know, I'm in deep to this. So from somebody who's not in deep, what are your thoughts on how the building fell?
That's the thing. That's why it's easy for somebody just like a bystander like myself, who has no idea about, you know, physics or the law of physics or how a plane would how a building would fall. Yeah. I have no idea. So, yeah, in my mind, a big Boeing, what's it called?
757.
757. Yeah, in my mind, okay, yeah, it could collapse a building like that. I don't know. What am I? How would I know? If I'm not a demolition expert, I'm not a physicist. I don't know.
What are your thoughts on Building 7, which many people completely forget about?
Yeah, what is that?
So Building 7 was also owned by Larry Silverstein, who we'll talk about in a little bit. Actually, I believe it was owned by him. I could be wrong on that. He definitely owned the Twin Towers, though. But Building 7 was immediately adjacent to the two and just fell. It was not struck by a plane.
And was it struck by debris from the other two buildings?
They're
though?
Saying that flaming debris started a fire. This is the official narrative, that flaming debris before the tower fell,
right,
flaming debris started a fire, which ultimately weakened the structure of Building 7, regular fire, and caused it to fall in on itself completely.
Building 7, how large was it? Was it as big
massive.
As
massive. Yeah, I mean, not as
big
as
the Twin Towers.
Not as big as the Twin Towers, but very large, very large. Google quickly a photo of Building 7 over there.
Is it in that picture?
No, I don't think it's in that picture. And guys, we'll try to post, there's a lot of photos and stuff like that, but it's a large building, and it's far enough away from the World Trade Center that Building 7 does not make sense. And there is absolutely no...
Wow, it's a very relatively new building, too. The construction was only completed in 1987.
Yes, yes. And fun fact, briefly, I will briefly touch on this because we're going to go into it heavily. Not fun fact, just fact about the World Trade Centers and being sold, is that the building creators of the World Trade Center's center ended up selling it with a 99-plus year lease.
Wow.
Why does that make sense? What's your regular mortgage on a house?
30 years?
About. Why does this get 99 plus years? Meaning you're not going to have a lot of money out of your pocket into the building when it falls a short amount of years later.
It's also a commercial building, though, so I don't know. I mean, I'm saying 99 is outrageous.
It's bizarre. I looked into it. It's
houses
not
are
usual.
Different. Yeah, no, that's odd. It does say here that both buildings were developed by Larry Silverstein.
Ah, so he also owned Building
7. Who holds
seven.
A ground lease for the site of World Trade Center Building Number 7.
Yes. So, yeah, Building 7 makes no sense. And that is why you don't hear about that typically. You don't remember Building 7. You don't talk about Building 7 in mainstream media. It is just kind of, hey, it went down. But it just, you know, you're talking about modern skyscraper technology. We do not live in a third world country where structurally there's some stuff lacking. You know, a skyscraper in a third world country or in China, you know, I don't know if I would trust that. You know, I don't know if I would trust that standing up to something like this. We live in one of the most developed countries in the world, and we have some of the best architects in the world, right? Buildings, these were at the time the largest buildings on Earth for a small amount of time there. And they are designed from the ground up to withstand the atrocities of nature, to withstand hurricanes, to withstand fires. Okay, these buildings were not designed to self-demolish if a small building fire were to hit them, for obvious reasons, because, you know, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense.
Well, and I'll say that, you know, the story coming back about the thermite and nanothermite substances found in the debris, someone was saying that it was theorized that the thermite material found was primer paint.
Yeah, allegedly.
Dave Thomas of Skeptical Inquirer magazine noted that the residue in question was claimed to be the thermatic because of its iron oxide and aluminum composition. So he pointed out that these substances are found in many items common to the tower. So yeah. he's discounting it, yes. Saying that materials used to build this, paint this, blah, 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 have those the same properties of this explosive, but it's yes. not the explosive. It's like, wait, what?
Now, speaking of things found in the rubble, I want you to quickly go over to the GovInfo library link that I sent you. And with, yes, what is, that one. What is that website, right?
That website is one
govinfo.library.unt.edu. So I would say that's a pretty
official website.
Official website. I don't think that that's some fringe conspiracy thing. Let's go ahead and see what else they found. More specifically, the spot about Satam al-Sakwami's passport.
You want
just
me to
read
talk
that,
about it?
Read that sentence. This is the passport.
This is the passport of Satam al-Sakwami. A passerby picked it up and gave it to an NYPD detective shortly before the World Trade Center towers collapsed. A fourth passport was recovered from luggage that did not make it from a Portland flight to Boston on the connecting flight, which was the American Airlines flight number 11. This is the passport of Abdul Aziz al-Amari.
So, interesting spot there that's easily missed. The guy that got his passport in the luggage, understandable, luggage was forgotten. That first part, they're saying that out of all that debris, out of all that rubble, right?
They found a little passport.
They found a passport of
intact enough to know what it was.
Intact, perfectly, from a plane that was engulfed with so much jet fuel that it was able to take down the largest skyscraper in the world. A passport was found on the street by a passerby and was given to a New York City detective.
And correct me if I'm
wrong. Are you kidding me?
But like days after, you couldn't even see anything. Like you couldn't even see a couple feet in front of you for like weeks, I thought.
Right.
Or maybe not weeks. But like,
no, it was not good.
The debris was so intense. It was like just a huge smog over the area. You couldn't see in front of
right.
you. There aren't people leisurely walking around going to Starbucks, grabbing a coffee and going home.
I just, I love how they like nonchalantly just go over the fact that a passerby, like, what is this dude just like leisurely going down the street? It's like, oh, it's a passport. Oh, it's of one of the hijackers on the plane that we just found out. And again, I pull up this website because where in the Wikipedia article do they touch on the fact that it's like, this is a passport that they like, how does that even remotely make sense in regards to the total topic? I just that point alone on an official website of how they knew that that specific hijacker was on the plane because they found his passport on the street after the building collapsed. I don't even understand how that is plausible by the common person.
Or like, I mean, that's just, it's one of those things that's buried. It's like, not,
what?
No one knows about that.
Right. And I just don't, you know, again, like, so that's a coincidence? What do you mean? What are you even talking about? I just don't, this is why I say it's one of the most ingenious conspiracy theories that this country has ever seen.
But then they have
these
pieces
because it's so
where,
in your face.
But there's these pieces that are just so not thought out.
Right. It's messy. It's one of the most messy things I've ever researched. And there's so much information. This Wikipedia page tries to make it seem like these conspiracy theorists are like these crazy tinfoil hat basement people that like don't know what they're talking about. You have entire websites dedicated to this by engineers. You have like 20-year veteran firefighters coming out who have seen so many buildings in New York City fall, it's not even funny, saying this doesn't make sense.
Or they were actually there cleaning up.
This story does not make sense. You have PhDs in physics saying that doesn't make sense. That is not how a building falls. So it's, you know, in modern times, it's very reminiscent of COVID stuff where it's like, who do you believe? Both sides are incredibly educated, but only one seems to be right. Like, it's not just random people. These are very educated people saying these things. So the passport thing just drives me insane. Like, that was one thing that is insanity.
That doesn't make sense. Interesting. Since we already kind of went over the Pentagon and Flight 93 in Pennsylvania, do you want to move down to another topic part?
We're squeezing by at the end. I'm just going to touch on this very quickly, but there are a few points on the Pentagon if you don't mind.
No. Hey, I think we can keep going.
I think we'll let it fly. However this is going, I love doing this with you. It's a lot of fun.
It's funny though, because I have to say off audio, I always have to remind Joe, like, keep it conversational.
Yes.
Make sure you're talking to me.
Which hopefully
and
I'm doing.
You are,
this.
But then you go off on these rants like you just did, and it's just, and I'm just over here like, yeah, I know. I know.
Just let them go.
That's crazy. I know.
So, Pentagon, did you take a second to look at the security footage to the right on Wiki showing the actual plane impacting?
No, I didn't.
It's right there on the thing. It's like 7 seconds. You should see it. So if you go back to Wiki, scroll down. We'll try to post this on there as well. Scroll up a little bit. Click that little play button. And this is, so if you go to
it's
like,
playing.
Yeah, go to like 10, 20 seconds-ish. Maybe. You should be able to scrub it a little bit as you're going. Might be like a minute. I'm not great at remembering what time the...
There it is.
Okay, so... That...
Yeah, there it is. It was like boom, and then boom.
That is the impact. That is allegedly a massive...
That's the best
Boeing
security footage they got?
At the Pentagon.
I don't know, though. We don't know if it's a Boeing.
Well... Okay.
I know. Large, no. Yes, I know. But
yeah,
I'm just saying.
A large commercial airliner. That is allegedly a large commercial airliner striking the Pentagon.
No.
Now, coincidentally, you just asked, hey, that was the only footage that we had.
I said, is that the best footage that we have?
That was actually the only working security camera in the area.
Right.
That was the only working security camera, was this like 4-pixel thing out in the street that catches a frame by frame white blip at like 10 feet off the ground slamming into the Pentagon, which looks very much like a missile. It does not look like an airplane. It looks like a missile fired into the building. And yeah, so important quick points about the, yeah, what do you got?
I wanted to say my point, which was that some claim that the holes in the Pentagon walls were far too small to have been made by a Boeing. Oh, you were right. Boeing 757.
Yeah.
In a book, this guy's name is Thierry Meyssan.
I love when you pronounce stuff.
Meyssan's book says, how does it, he quotes, it's a quote from his book. How does a plane 125 feet wide and 155 long fit into a hole which was only 60 feet across?
Yeah. Doesn't make much sense, does it?
Oh, but Wiki had an answer. I mean, I didn't even write it down.
They
but
said, oh, the wings just came off and didn't hurt the outside of the building at all.
It said it's something about, like, it's not like it would make a cartoon, you know, outline in the plane. Like, you know, when you watch Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, he goes through a wall and it's like his perfect outline.
Yeah.
They're saying it's not going to be like that. And it's like, well, no, sure. But it's going to be a bit larger than 60 feet.
Right. You're going to at least see some damage on that. Now, as we're touching on the Pentagon, a quick point about that hole in the wall, you also don't notice very much plane debris all over the place. It's really pretty clear, which is also rather coincidental. Hmm. Now, if we go to the tab that I showed you on cityjournal.org, we have that quote there, which is rather interesting. What do we got?
On September 10th, 2001, the U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld disclosed that his department was unable to account for roughly $2.3 trillion worth of transactions. The next day, the U.S. sustained the terrorist attacks that changed the world, and this startling revelation was forgotten. Oh, boy.
$2.3 trillion. The point that they leave out there. Yes. And the point that they leave out there is the Pentagon lost that money.
Well, allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. The Pentagon... Actually, no, that's factual. The defense spending, that was Pentagon money that was lost.
No. I'm saying, I don't think they used the word lost. I don't think it was lost.
Oh, yeah.
I think, obviously, trillions of dollars was a very strategic...
Right.
It's not like, oh, shit, I had $100 in my wall and it fell out.
Right.
They lost. What? Are you joking? That was allocated very strategically towards something.
Right. And on top of that, you might ask, well, geez, that was in 2001. Did they ever figure out what happened with the money? No. No.
I wasn't going to ask that, but thank you for answering.
Well, hey, I'm going to try. allegedly, because I could not validate this, this is crazy, the wing of the Pentagon that got destroyed was, one, civilian employees, two, the wing that was researching the lost $2.3 trillion.
That's another thing we should give light to, is that, like, all of the government employees that had nothing to do with, if there are conspiracy theories at play here, had nothing to do with it. I'm talking security guards or administrative employees, assistants. Right. You know, people that are just going into their 9-to-5 and going home and have no clue what's actually going on.
Yes.
And they lost their lives because of this.
Yes.
It's just...
It's insanity.
I mean, thinking about it, it's like, my mom is a former government employee. She never worked at, like, a high-level building.
Right.
But I'm just thinking about, like, if my mom had been in the... It's just crazy.
It's horrendous.
It's horrible.
It's absolutely horrendous. And it's murder. It is murder. Now...
You just burp.
I did just burp. And I'm not going to lie, I tried to like squeak it downward.
No, I
and
heard
it was
it.
Like,
I heard it. He's just getting too excited. His stomach. You got to take in more air, buddy.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? Side note.
I don't need to take in more air.
Actually, I was going to compliment you, asshole.
Oh, please.
I was going to say,
please compliment
me. Remember the fact that my wife right now is over 8 months pregnant. And she is helping me out.
I'm not over 8 months.
Basically 10 months pregnant.
Joe has this funny thing he does. Let's break this up a little bit with some humor. Joe has this funny thing. So we've been together 8 years. He loves to be like, that's like 10. And I'm like, no, it's not.
It's like 8.
There's 2 more years to get to 10.
But I want to make the point that she is literally hanging out with me for over an hour doing a rad podcast about this topic. So
and
thank
he's
you.
Kicking like crazy right now, so he must be enjoying it.
Yes, he's
well,
a little conspiracy
let's start
theorist.
The, yeah, we'll start the tinfoil hats theories now.
Yeah, so basically, another side note about the Pentagon briefly, and then we'll go into this, is the final point is a Boeing 757 is not easy to fly, as we talked about, and the actual motion of the plane flying in the air in a corkscrew rotation is so incredibly difficult that most of the pilots for like the 9/11 for Truth websites or whatever, I think they interviewed hundreds of experienced pilots, could not make it happen. In fact, the miles per hour that the plane was heading at, which I think was over 500 miles per hour or something like that. I'm not a pilot. I can't remember. They said that the plane actually would have broken up before impact at that speed, at those heights. So
that makes sense.
Doesn't add up. It does not add up that not only were these hijackers so experienced that they were able to fly that plane in that corkscrew rotation, but actual physics dictate that the plane would not have been able to hold up at those speeds.
So odd.
So, you know, and again, that's not Joe Schmo conspiracy theorists. Those are trained pilots saying, yeah, no, that's not how that works. So, crazy harebrained conspiracies. Here we go. What do you got on your little list there?
Oh, you want to, I mean,
I want to keep it conversational.
Yeah, you know? I appreciate that. So it's not just me being like, yes.
You were shocked by it. You're like, oh, geez, he's crazy. Asking me.
Oh, you're asking me a question? Yeah. No, so we pretty much covered Flight 93, I would say, unless you had other theories that you wanted to cover on that.
No, I think so. I guess what we...
No, I think so. What does that mean? Do you do have more theories?
No. Did you want to go over to the Larry Silverstein stuff real quick?
Yeah,
and then
sure.
We'll begin kind of slowly wrapping it up.
Sure.
So if you go to that Larry Silverstein tab, this is full disclosure. I threw this to Mary at the last second, so she hasn't taken notes on this part, so we're just going to kind of jump around a little bit. There's a few important points. You're going to notice at the heading title there of World Trade Center that Larry Silverstein, side point, he's the owner of the World Trade Center in Building 7. Okay. Mm-hmm. He had an office, I believe, on the top floor of the World Trade Center that he was at every single morning.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was a pretty big business guy. Okay. Rarely took sick days and spoke highly of his morning trips to the top floor to drink his cup of coffee, looking over the city at his, you know, mecca, basically. Coincidentally, the morning of September 11th, his wife insisted he attend a medical appointment, inadvertently saving him from certain death. I mean, again, one of the many other coincidences that the owner of these buildings was, for whatever reason, sick that day. That is the official, like, that's officially what happened. Like, it's when, if we look into Titanic in the future, with all the people, like, just not going.
Oh, we should do a Titanic episode.
How do you justify that? How do you justify the coincidence that such a key player in this role is just not there that day, when he would have been there any other day? Is it chance, or could you add in all of the other things? Is like, it doesn't make sense.
How about that insurance payout?
Tell us about that, because that was the other thing. I'm happy you brought that up, because that was the other part on there that this guy is a piece of shit.
I'll read this paragraph. All of the buildings at the World Trade Center, including buildings 1 through 7, were destroyed or damaged beyond repair on September 11th. After a protracted dispute with insurers over the amount of coverage for rebuilding World Trade Center buildings 1, 2, 4, and 5, a series of court decisions determined that a maximum of, wait for it, $4.55 billion was payable, and settlements were reached with insurers in 2007. $4.5 billion.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And after, because that wasn't enough.
So wait, they're saying they got that money?
Yes, Silverstein got that money. He got paid out $4.55 billion. And if that wasn't enough to fully profit off of the lives that were lost, conspiracy or not, this guy profited. He actually sought to collect double the face amount. He originally was fighting for $7.1 billion of a payout after the Trade Center's collapsed.
Man, if I'm not mistaken, if I go back up to the top of the paragraph, In January of 2001, Silverstein via Silverstein Properties made a $3.2 billion bid to lease to purchase the World Trade Center buildings. So even, right, even at their purchase price, and he won the bid. I mean, there were a couple people that kind of like he fought over it with, but even at the bidding price, that's still a significant, I mean, that's less than the insurance payout.
Right. Right.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And that's factual. Like, that's not even, there's no conspiracy. There's nothing. That is what happened. I don't know how you could look at that guy smiling in his picture and not be like, you are a piece of shit. Like,
he looks so familiar.
Aside from the conspiracies, this dude profited $4.5 billion off of all these lives lost. Whoa. So, okay, so that sucks. And I have a little point here that him drinking coffee in the morning or whatever they say, Silverstein has said in interviews that he usually spent his mornings in breakfast meetings at Windows on the World on top of the Trade Center North Tower and with new tenants in the building. However, the morning of September 11th, and that's when his wife insisted that he stayed home. So you can go much deeper into looking like how he got the contract, who he got the contract from. Why did he buy the Twin Towers? Why did he buy all the Trade Center?
Well,
and it's even more suspicious.
Yeah,
it doesn't add up.
Because the people that he was in a bidding war with over these buildings, suspiciously, he was outbid by $30 million by this Vernando Realty.
And then they all backed out.
And then they all backed out. The Vernando properties withdrew in March, giving Silverstein 14 days to negotiate a new bid. He negotiated a bid that was finalized on April 26, 2001, in part partnership with Westfield America Incorporated, and that bid was accepted on July 24th, 2001. It was the first time in the complex's 31-year history that it had changed management. That's weird.
Yeah. And on top of that, you're telling me it seems like it was a pretty sought-after property. It's kind of bizarre that they did a 99-year lease on this individual that obviously could not pay for what the buildings were worth.
Again, it's just one of those odd things where it's like, that's just not a coincidence.
At all.
It's not a coincidence.
Right. And there's
a lot of money.
This is one Google search. Yeah. This is one Google search that doesn't make sense. And this is what I mean, where people have understandably the ability to kind of shut their minds off a little bit when it comes to digging into this because of the pain that it will bring. And that's understandable. This sucks.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things. Now, we can kind of wrap up with our final points. I have a few points that I have in my mind of what I think is maybe going on, maybe not. What do you think?
What do I think about the whole thing?
Whole thing, Jesus. Wrap it up. Just kind of, especially, I'm very curious about your opinions because you have never looked into this before.
All right, I'm going to be very diplomatic. And Joe, I advise you do the same when you give your opinions.
Yes.
My diplomatic response is that factually, evidence shows discrepancies with what actually happened. There are facts that are out there that are proven that are very hard to ignore. Because of that, it's hard to not think or at least attempt to think through the possibility of other things at play other than the natural cause of, I shouldn't say natural cause, but the alleged cause of the crash is being hijackers from Al-Qaeda. There is just something else must be at play. I don't know what that could be. There's just a lot of things that are just not adding up, that don't add up. And there are just one after another and after another. And I know if we had four more hours to talk about this, Joe could hit you with 5 million more discrepancies or weird factual evidence that doesn't line up. That being said, that's my opinion.
Totally honest. Were you actually shocked by some of the information or not? Did it surprise you or no? I'm curious.
I'm trying to think. I heard things about the Pennsylvania flight that were a little odd just because we're from Pennsylvania. Just naturally, I had heard things.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the World Trade Center building number 7.
Interesting.
That
a lot of people don't.
Odd. That's very shocking. I don't know. It's sad because at this point my brain isn't really shocked by government conspiracies as much.
You're falling down that rabbit
hole. It's not even falling down the rabbit hole. It's just like because of the past research we've done with other theories, it's hard for me to be like, no way.
Yeah.
Now, the things, it's just like so blatantly in your face, some of these factual pieces of evidence, like the passport found on the street by a passerby, that it's like, wait, that just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
But it's such a beast of a conspiracy theory that it's like, how do you, I mean, JFK, for instance, that conspiracy theory, I would say was a beast of a conspiracy theory, but it was one occurrence. It was one thing that had to get dissected. This is like, I mean, how many things have to get dissected, proven, reviewed, fought against? And that's why you said it's kind of like the perfect storm that was created, because there's just so much going on that it's almost like, well, there's nothing we can do.
Yes. So
that's, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I guess I'll give mine.
Well.
So the U.S. government has thought about this before in Operation Northwoods. We talked about that long ago.
Oh, that's a good point to bring up.
In the 60s, they talked about acts of terror on United States citizens to spark a war with Cuba. One of those was actually using remote-controlled aircraft in the 60s to crash into large buildings.
If you want to learn more about Operation Northwoods, we do have an episode
on that. Yes, we do have an episode on that. So you have that. You have the fact that these hijackers learned how to fly in a small Cessna plane. It's a very, very tiny plane. That is an interesting fact for the reason that they actually almost failed out of the flight school because they were such bad students and pilots.
Could these are the hijackers.
Barely, yes, could barely fly the plane. Yet, somehow, we have them jumping to one of the largest planes in the world at the time. Intricate planes. Understanding how to fly them, not only understanding that, but outflying 20-year veteran pilots in those planes. That doesn't make sense. What doesn't make sense is that the airport that these hijackers learned how to fly out of was actually one of the primary airports the CIA was smuggling drugs into the country through. And that is proven, factual, documented all throughout with the crack epidemic issues and other things, how drugs were getting into the country was primarily through that airport. And if you dig into who these people really were, who the hijackers were, it truly does look like they were drug runners for the CIA, flying the small Cessna planes and just porting in drugs, and that they use them as patsies with this whole thing. It doesn't make sense how the buildings fell. The buildings, to me, it's if you watch the video with this in mind and truly try to see it, it does not make sense watching the building just immediately with crazy speed collapse in on itself from this plane hitting it at the very, very tippy top.
Rather than tip over one way or the other.
It doesn't make sense how it just perfectly...
Is that what they mean by demolition theory?
Okay. Typically, a controlled demolition, they want to drop it straight.
Right,
So they don't destroy everything else.
Right.
It just, it's weird that they're saying, well, the fire caused it to collapse. Well, did the fire cause so much structural damage that it perfectly fell exactly like how an explosion would cause it to fall?
Right.
And I'm not entirely convinced that what struck those buildings was an airplane, was an aircraft. At the time...
Well, that's hard to dispute, though. I'll let you keep going. I'm sorry.
It is. When you think about, at the time, the United States government... Again, I'm pulling from Northwoods here. They were already talking about using remote control planes, right? Large size planes to do this.
What I'm saying is it's hard to dispute the video evidence of an airplane going into a building.
It is, until you look at a type of drone that the United States had at the time that was an incredibly large drone that looked about the size of a commercial airliner and could very easily be turned into looking like a commercial airliner. Let's not forget that NORAD apparently did not know where these aircraft were for over 45 minutes.
That's a good point.
So somehow we have no record of seeing planes in the sky anywhere, and all of a sudden, poof, out of nowhere, a massive plane goes into this building. So I don't know entirely that it was not, let's say, a massive drone that was looking like that. Of course, that, you know, rabbit holes on where were the passengers? Where did they go? What were they done? Were they murdered at another location? Who knows? But something happened to those buildings that is not what happened that day. Building 7, absolutely was controlled somehow to fall. Mm-hmm. There's no way that debris caused it to start a fire and it just imploded on itself.
I think it said it was 26 stories or something.
Yeah, okay. So that doesn't make any sense. You don't find a passport. The passport they found in the luggage allegedly contained a note of like all the details on why they did it, which doesn't make any sense on why that would be left. And how did the United States government know that these 17 people did it? We're talking literally almost hours after it happened. They don't know where the plane is for 45 minutes, yet you know by name and photograph 17 people that did it and who did it.
Right.
And why we need to go get in a war with them right this very second.
So you're in alignment with what I said.
Yes. Yeah. And the Pentagon is a whole other aspect. There's money everywhere. And this is very much thought of
to
be...
That's what they say. Follow the money.
Yes. And this is very much thought of to be one of the starting points to many other horrendous things that have happened in our modern world from 9/11. And it's the one thing that you cannot question, you cannot research, or else you are a traitor to the country. So on that note, I think personally this was one of our best episodes.
I'm glad you think that.
So I know I got to give props to Mary because she did not want to do this for a long time. I've been talking for about an hour and 20 minutes. So
let's just say the next episode's going to be a fun one.
We could do some cryptozoology. I know you like
or
that.
Or another time travel episode. Part two, baby.
You love your time travel
time
episode.
Time travel episode.
Okay, so... That wraps up episode 27. We'll do our best to put all the links down in the description of where you're listening to this at. Click on those, do your own research, and please don't get too offended by this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. Damn it, I said it again. Thank you guys so much for listening. Stay tuned for more great content coming soon.